Grand Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. The European Union has announced retaliatory tariffs on the U.S. after President Trump increased tariffs on all steel and aluminum imports to 25%. CBS's Kelly O'Grady says the impacts will be far-reaching.
You could see prices go up for a number of different industries. Aluminum and steel, they are key inputs to building houses, to building cars. And so businesses that are importing will have to decide whether they're going to absorb that or pass it on to the consumers.
European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen.
The European Union must act to protect consumers and business. The countermeasures we take today are strong but proportionate.
Britain, which is not part of the EU, says it will not impose tariffs on the U.S., but calls President Trump's decision disappointing. The Department of Education has announced it will cut its workforce by almost half, 1,300 job cuts. Education Secretary Linda McMahon.
Clearly, we're not taking away education. The president never said that. He's taken the bureaucracy out of education so that more money flows to the states. Better education is closest to the kids.
The job cuts will begin Friday. CBS's Nicole Killian tells us what's next for that stopgap spending bill the House approved yesterday.
It goes over to the Senate, where it will require Democratic votes to pass, as Senate Democrats haven't really tipped their hand as to which way they may vote, although Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman has made clear that he does not support any type of vote in favor of a shutdown.
Friday night is the deadline to avert a government shutdown. There will be a court hearing today for Mahmoud Khalil, the Columbia University protest organizer facing deportation, even though he has a green card. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
His First Amendment claim hinges on whether his actions in organizing campus protests constituted protected political speech.
President Trump has warned Khalil's arrest is the first of many to come. Federal regulators are recommending a permanent ban on some helicopter flights near Reagan National Airport after January's mid-air collision there. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy says too many helicopters have been flying above altitude restrictions.
It's an intolerable risk to aviation safety.
A five-time champion will miss next month's Masters.
Tiger Woods has driver in his hand at the short par 4 7th.
336 to the
Woods ruptured his left Achilles tendon while training. He hasn't played in a PGA tournament since last summer. He was hoping to come back at the Masters. He'll likely be out for months. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi, this is Beth, inviting you to join me for The Kitchen's Open, the show within the show, each Monday morning at 9 a.m. on The Morning Show on WFHR.
The Bucks lose at the buzzer. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks had the lead, but Oshkosh native Tyrese Haliburton with a spectacular three-point shot, then draws a foul, gave the Pacers a 115-114 win over Milwaukee. Doc Rivers.
That's on us and toward our staff. You know, we got to have our guys prepared better for that. You can see screaming before the play. We're already off the bodies, so we're in trouble before the play started.
The Bucks have now lost three in a row. College hoops, for the second year in a row, the UW Green Bay women's team winning the Horizon League tournament. They beat Purdue Fort Wayne 77-63. The Phoenix now headed to the NCAA tournament. The Badgers men play tomorrow in the second round of the Big Ten tournament. Greg Gard says his team has put that loss at home to Penn State behind them.
So one nice thing about younger adults, they move on faster than a 50-some-year-old head coach does.
NFL cornerback Eric Stokes leaving the Packers, signing a one-year deal with the Las Vegas Raiders. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Robert Redford has come out of retirement to make his first acting appearance in 6 years. The 88-year-old will appear on an episode of AMC in Dark Winds. Redford is also an executive producer, along with Game of Thrones producer George R.R. Martin. Redford will appear on episode 1 of season 3, which will air this coming Sunday night. Redford requested his scenes be shot on a closed set due to his insistence on appearing in his altogether. The show Dark Winds is set in the 1970s and follows a Navajo police unit. The show's director, Chris Ayer, says as Redford's fellow executive producer, George R.R. Martin, will also have a cameo in the first episode of Season 3. He added that the Season 3 executive producer cameos were part of the plan since Season 1. He also admitted that despite Redford being a phenomenal and supportive producer, the idea of directing the legendary actor really freaked him out. New episodes of Dark Winds drop on AMC Sunday nights. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We are watching a late-week system that could bring some thunderstorms late Friday, rain into Saturday, rain changing to snow late Saturday into Sunday, also a lot of wind. Stay tuned for updates on that. Today, sunny, mid to upper 50s. Tonight, low 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with highs in the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Peach Wabba.
Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, great to have you with me on this beautiful Tuesday night, coming to you live from downtown Madison, broadcasting statewide here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Our phone lines are open, 855-752-4842. We are a little behind on texts, but we'll get to them. Our question tonight is, if you had to be on a reality show, what reality show would you want to be on? We've had some good, and some people are chiming in with, game shows. That's fine, too. Our own Todd Michaels says match game. Conrad, is Todd just doing that, or does he love Match Game?
I think he just loves it. Or he wants
he
to
said
be...
Match Game 75, like in 1975, or is that like the number of iterations?
I have no idea what it is, to be honest.
And then we did get a text about, I think it was Anna from Madison, who wanted to know if Steve Martin and Martin Short were coming back to the Overture Center again. I don't know, but I did put in the text the calendar at the Overture Center you can check out. I don't always see the texts when I'm talking to guests. Sorry about that, Anna, but we will let you know, or we'll, Conrad, maybe you could take a memo and find out for Anna. We're nothing if not information givers. So anyway, keep those texts coming. We'll get to them. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. I don't know this guy personally, but I've heard nothing but great things about him. He is a comedian, and he joins us now on the stream, Frank Roach. Frank, hey.
Thank you for having me, Pete.
It's great to listen. Is it Roach? I made an assumption there.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right.
Okay, fantastic. Well, yeah. It's good to have you. Are you, how are you tonight?
Oh, doing great, man. Doing great in Chippewa Falls tonight, also Wisconsin.
Okay, so let's talk about that because my buddy Mike Mercury put me in touch with you. He said, Pete, you got to talk to Frank. You got to have him on the show. I don't like him personally, but he's very funny. He didn't say that, Frank. So he highly recommended you, and I had a slot. I'm like, let's get to know a new comedian. So this is great. But he mentioned Chippewa Falls, but also that you were from Detroit. So can you explain that?
Yeah. So I'm from Detroit. I've been in Wisconsin for probably 12 years now, and I came because of a girl who I'm no longer with, you know?
Okay.
But while I was here, I went to nursing school and finished my RN, which was great because it was right before COVID hit. And like many comedian friends were like, oh man, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do because everyone's comedy dates dried up. Everything got canceled.
So, wow. Good timing.
Yeah, it was crazy.
One of my best friends is a nurse. He and his wife are both nurses. And I was getting all my COVID information through him. Like, what should I be doing with? So you were probably a good guy to know during COVID in Chippewa Falls. Yeah. There. So you stayed. That is it tough? Frank, being a comedian based in Chippewa Falls, I imagine you do a lot of driving.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And And I'm going to, since we can walk with this a little,
yeah.
I'm going to show you, like, if you can see.
Frank is giving me a tour of his home. I love this.
No. This is actually in my driveway. And that green son of a gun is with the license plate Funny One. That is the road roller.
Oh, that's great. So I don't think this has ever happened before, Frank, on the history of Nightlight, which has only been on a little over a year, that I've gotten a tour like that and to see a comedian's car, which I'm guessing you have a lot of miles on, I would imagine.
You're funny. But it's funny you bring up Mike Mercury, because he's somebody that I really am glad I met in the last year, because normally in comedy, at my age, I figure I know everybody that I'm going to know. And then this guy came out of nowhere, and he's already become a good friend. Great guy.
Totally agree.
But did he tell you about a show, a TV series that I'm producing now?
He did not. He just kind of gave me your info, and I reached out to you. But I know I've done some research. I know you have this cool show coming out called Big Star Comedy Small Town. So I'm glad we started with the Detroit Chippewa Falls thing. I would imagine it's tied somehow to your experiences.
Well, it's kind of wild because people kept like saying they were creators of content and stuff, like online creators. And I'm like, well, what is that? And it was like people doing like TikToks and little clips and that. And I'm like, I want to make a show. And I want it to be a show that would be something that would be for people who love history, who love travel, and who love stand-up comedy. So, and I got to tell you, the first episode has already won awards on three continents, and it was filmed in Neillsville, Wisconsin.
And you filmed this?
Yeah.
Nice. So yeah. What is it, Frank? Is it like what's the form? Is it like sitcom-ish or
No. You were talking earlier, like reality. This is more so kind of like that. So
okay.
The show is set up where we find a small town and with historic theater and a lot of history around it. And then we set up a show and we focus on all the historical sites to show people. And then we end with a show. But the way the sitcom or the way the series goes, if you're watching an episode, the first thing you see is a stand-up comedy line that pounds from the headliner. And then each segment we go from there, and every segment has a stand-up comedy line from the star, from the headliner. And for Wisconsin, we hit the Veterans Memorial, the high ground near Neillsville. We hit the 1897 jail, which is crazy because it had 24 cells connected to a beautiful Victorian mansion. And the sheriff's wife cooked for all the 24 people. All the 24 inmates. And during the tour, the lady was like, and she didn't get paid. And we're all really upset about that still. And the star of that episode, Rocky Laporte, said, was her cooking that bad?
I love Rocky. Oh, that's great.
She did not like that. But we just did episode 2. In Butte, Montana, episode 3 is going to be with Greg Morton from America's Got Talent. And that's going to be in Deadwood and feature like Mount Rushmore and surrounding. And then episode 4, Adam Carolla.
Wow. Nice lineup. So is it hard to produce this from Chippewa Falls, Frank, or is it all about just guys you've worked with and reaching out to them?
Luckily it's the latter. It's guys I've worked with and reaching out to them. And right. Because when they're like, well, who's funding this? And I'm like, well, my nursing job. But
Frank is funding this.
Right. So, and comedy shows that I'm obviously doing.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's kind of exciting because it seems that people are so willing to be helpful in these small towns to set up the tours and whatnot. And now I've got that episode from Wisconsin, episode 1. So I'm able to actually show people that. And then because of that episode, that's how I got Adam Carolla and everybody else.
Wow.
And no one's ever heard of Neillsville. None of these people. And I never did either before I moved to Wisconsin, but not that that's a tourist destination, cause it certainly isn't, but it's got a lot of history, you know?
Yeah. No, it's interesting you say that, Frank, because I think all these towns, like I live in Marinette right now, which is probably smaller than where you are. And I commute every day to Green Bay typically to do the show. But even in that little town, there's this guy that went out to Hollywood and produced shows. There's this guy that got arrested in the CIA. There's this guy, like, there's great history in all these towns. So I would think you would have a wealth of material there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And if you're into history and travel and stand-up comedy, you would dig the show. And it's like a 45-minute episode, which if it ends up on History Channel with commercials, it'd be an hour.
You know? Where can people see this, Frank?
They can't yet because we have to film so many episodes before we've got an agent to help us, you know, sell it. And she works with History Channel and Netflix and everything in between. So we're not really sure where we're going to land.
Okay. Let's talk about, do you have shows coming up this week somewhere in Wisconsin?
Oh yeah.
Lay it on us, buddy. What are you playing?
I'm at Bootleggers in Amherst Junction on Thursday. And then on Friday for Mike Mercury, our friend, I'm doing Mole Lake Casino.
I know you're going to say it's in Mole Lake, but what vicinity is that in?
So I had to look it up too. Cause it looks like it's in Crandon.
Oh, nice. Okay. That's a beautiful little town. Do you like doing casinos?
That's a tricky question, man, because like this particular one I already know is good because I heard it. The shows went really well. I've got a friend who was there a couple weeks ago or at least for the last show. I don't know if it's monthly or how often, but he was there recently and he said, oh, man, you're going to love that place. But I've also done casinos like in the UP where it's snowing so bad. The manager comes up to me and he's like, the opener called. He can't make it because of the snow. He's stuck. Can you do 95 minutes? And I'm like, what?
Oh, that's the worst.
Oh, yeah. And not only that, Pete, 95 minutes in front of a transient crowd. I mean, they're people that were right by the door. So they sit for a couple and then they're gone. It's like, after a while, you can reuse some of the same jokes.
Oh, that's nice. I host a football fundraiser every year in Marinette that the local coach asked me to put together. I've been doing it for like 10 years since I moved to Wisconsin. And my biggest fear, and I host it, but I haven't done stand up regularly since like the late 90s. So I can muscle through 10 minutes to open the show. But my biggest fear is two of the comics are going to call and go, it's a snowstorm. We can't get there. And then it's just me up there going, hey, see if you guys know this song, you know, whatever. Awful.
You remember? Hey,
go ahead.
Do you remember hearing somebody say, Pete, can you stretch?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Hey, Frank, I know you're an impressionist. We have about a minute and a half left. Is there, who do you do the best, would you say?
Well, you know what, man? I do Christopher Walken and Liam Neeson pretty good.
Would you be willing to share one of those with us?
Yeah, yeah. All right. I wish we had a little more time. I would have done a little bit for you with even more,
Now that we're friends, Frank.
And oh, I can come
just,
back.
You're just a hop, skip and a jump away there. You're in the suburbs of Marinette over there in Chippewa Falls. I'd love to have you back. Yeah. We got about 30 seconds. So
here we go. We're going to do Christopher Walken, the one everybody likes from Saturday Night Live.
Awesome.
Guys, I got to tell you, I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell. Gene, expand the space. I gotta have it. I gotta have that cowbell. And before we close, what I have is a particular skill set, Pete.
All right, we're gonna do this again. You're coming back, Frank. I hope you had fun. It was great to meet you. And
you too.
We'll talk soon. Knock 'em dead this weekend, buddy.
Thank you, friend.
All right, Frank Roach coming back with some clips, and I'm going to read your text, and then we'll bring in Jeff Blankenship to talk independent film. Peach Wob and Nightlight, Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. On the 60th anniversary of Bloody Sunday in Selma, Alabama, we're examining how the landmark protections it moved forward in the Voting Rights Act of 1965 are now being dismantled by the U.S. Supreme Court's far-right majority. Louisiana versus Calais may be the next blow. What started out as brazen racial gerrymandering in 2022 by the Louisiana legislature has devolved into a new tactic to undo more of the already weakened VRA. Lower courts ordered the legislature to draw new, fairer maps. After initial defiance, it drew two majority-minority congressional districts to allow concentrations of the state's 33% black population to elect the candidate of their choice. In 2024, a group of, quote, non-African American voters appealed. They claim that the new districts are a violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment and should be struck down. In 2023's striking down of affirmative action, Justices Alito, Gorsuch, and Thomas pointed to the Equal Protection Clause, as did Alito in his dissent in Alabama's Milligan racial gerrymandering decision. When oral arguments begin March 24th, all eyes will be on Justices Kavanaugh and Coney Barrett, who upheld the VRA Section 2 in the Alabama decision, but who also concurred with parts of Thomas's Equal Protection Clause dissent. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I like that guy. Frank seemed like a really good guy. We'll have to have him back and we can... I got excited when I heard he did impressions, but then we kind of ran out of time. So next time we'll book him back for a little more time. We'll have him elaborate. Yeah, that was fun. So we got to catch up on some text here. Anna from Madison says, Conrad, I think you were thinking about the movie 27 Dresses.
Yes, I was.
Was that true?
Yep.
But what was that? Did I?
Because I was saying there was a Yes to the Dress movie. Oh, yes. It was 27 Dresses.
Oh, yeah, with Katherine Heigl.
Yep.
Right. Katherine Heigl was in a movie shot here in Madison years ago called Side Effects. I remember meeting the filmmaker here in Madison, and Katherine Heigl was in the film and was very good. And I was like, boy, you can kind of tell she was going places. Actually, the filmmaker's name was Kathleen Moscow, and she, I think, booked Katherine Heigl in the film. And during that time, she had, maybe was on Grey's. I don't know. There was something, but she was already kind of on her way. But Anna from Madison, I read that. Chris Casper says, the real lives of radio engineers. Will the phones work today? Did the internet go down? Did a tower fall over? And then parenthetically, really happened, says Chris Casper. I'm always amazed when I come to Madison and Chris is actually here and not out on the road somewhere fixing, like a cow ran over a transmitter or something. Very hardworking guy, Chris Casper. Somers was here too tonight. Did you say hi to Aaron?
Yep.
A-A-Ron?
A-A-Ron.
It's always good to see those guys. And Sage was here. Sage was working. It's always nice when you're the CEO and you're like the last one to leave or one of the last guys to leave. Not that anybody's, going to give Sage a hard time. Guy does what he wants. Kidding me? We'll snap your neck like a twig. It's the CEO, Conrad.
Yeah.
Conrad doesn't know what to say. I don't want to jump in here because I don't want him to snap my neck. Sage is a great guy. That was fun at the party when everyone from Madison came up to Northeast Wisconsin. We all got to hang out at our Christmas party in March. Jameson from Pennsylvania. Now he's laughing. From the 814 says, I won't kill anyone, but might not know what to do with chicken liver mousse, fennel pollen, and baby octopus all at once. Crazy stuff. They do like that. Do they really? He says, getting screamed at by Gordon on TV would be a lifetime highlight reel. Do you know what you're doing? You made this octopus into octopoop, but he uses the bad word. I got to start watching more of these food shows. I had no idea there was this kind of drama happening on a nightly basis. No kidding. Thanks for the text, Jameson. Sherry from Horicon says, I never saw it. She says, Ghost Hunters, I binge every night. All right, Sherry, you'll like to know this. Todd Michaels is going to be on the show next week, and we're going to talk about someone is out there claiming proof of aliens. So you might want to, not that those are ghosts, but, you know, Todd kind of has a hobby of as a paranormal investigator. So we're going to have a fun discussion. That'll be one night next week, so you won't want to miss that, Sherry. Sherry also says, oh, I'm sorry, I already read that. Brian from Milwaukee says, The Amazing Race. Oh, I forgot about that one. Been a big fan since the start. You can learn so much about cultures, customs, and traditions as you travel all over the world. Yeah, that's a good one, too. It's not like a running race. Like, you don't get winded. Right?
I don't think I've actually ever seen The Amazing Race.
You need to start watching more TV, Connor.
I'm only watching MILF Manor, and that's it, all right?
And hopefully the many spinoffs that happen. Okay. So Mike Myers, folks, you forget about Mike Myers, but he's made some classics. Wayne's World, So I Married an Axe Murderer. He's made some really great films, and he's a really funny guy. And he was on Saturday Night Live 2 weeks in a row. And last week, he played Elon Musk in this skit where the president is berating Marco Rubio. And Musk walks in as Mike Myers, and he morphs into the Dr. Evil voice. So let's hear that now, Con.
Hi, it's me, tech support. Oh, just kidding.
Elon, I want to thank you for at least wearing a suit this time. Doesn't look great, right? Billionaire, but he shops at Joseph A. Bank. It's giving groomsmen.
Good one, Donald. Good one. Glitch. Buffering. I'm back.
Never going to get used to that. Now, look, I can't have you two at each other's throats, okay? After all, I have a perfect record. Everyone who's ever worked for me has left on good terms and then gone on to write a book called The Man Who Ruined Everything. So you two need to start acting like mature adults, okay? So let's begin with Marco.
Polo.
No, Elon, I'm trying to talk to Marco.
Polo! What is that? What's this? What's this? He keeps doing this. What's this?
Nobody knows, okay? It's his little dance. We let him do it, all right? It's his least unsettling trick.
I can't believe this is the guy you've given access to the entire government. He's not an elected official.
I know you are, but what am I?
Okay, whoa.
Company!
That's enough. If you're going to insult each other, at least make them good, okay? Something like, Elon, how do you have 20 kids, but I've never seen you with a chick? Just dudes named Donkey Dong and King, you know, stuff like that. And here, watch this. Marco, short and gay, classic. But Elon, you got to listen to me, okay? Marco is a very important part of the team, and we all need to...
Phase one of my plan is complete. Ingratiate yourself to the president and take over the media. But was taking this job a bad idea? A lot of people seem to really hate me. My Tesla stock is crashing and my personal net worth just dropped by $100 billion.
And it's important, all right? So headlines from the meeting. One, America's doing bad guy now. Two, Marco, get your budget under control. And three, Elon, stay in your lane. You're not the boss.
But I paid you $300 million.
And that's why you're the boss. So we'll get out of your office right after we say this. Live from New York, it's Saturday night!
Like, the Dr. Evil thing is kind of a visual thing, too, but I love when Mike Myers, as Musk, says, glitch. Like, he's not even a real person and does the restart computer sound. Google it. It's very funny, folks. All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk some independent film and about a film festival that focuses on mental health. Really cool stuff with the festival founder and a filmmaker himself, Jeff Blankenship. That's coming up after Civic Media's news team tells you what's up. Thanks for being with me, folks. Great to have you. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. The European Union is slapping retaliatory tariffs on U.S. goods now that President Trump has raised the tariffs on all imported aluminum and steel to 25%. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen.
We deeply regret this measure. Tariffs are taxes. They are bad for business and worse for consumers.
The Education Department will lay off more than 1,300 employees, angering Democrats like Washington State Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal.
I have enormous concerns. This is a very important department that provides education services to millions of people across this country.
The Columbia University protest organizer who was arrested and threatened with deportation has a court hearing today. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Khalil's green card grants him permanent residency, and so he is entitled to some constitutional protections, but arguably not as much as an actual American citizen.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks lose at the buzzer. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks had the lead, but Oshkosh native Tyrese Halliburton with a spectacular three-point shot, then draws a foul, gave the Pacers a 115-114 win over Milwaukee. Doc Rivers.
That's on us and toward our staff. You know, we got to have our guys prepared better for that. You can see screaming before the play. We're already off the bodies, so we're in trouble before the play started.
The Bucks have now lost three in a row. College hoops. For the second year in a row, the UW Green Bay women's team winning the Horizon League tournament. They beat Purdue Fort Wayne 77-63. The Phoenix now headed to the NCAA tournament. The Badgers men play tomorrow in the second round of the Big Ten tournament. Greg Gard says his team has put that loss at home to Penn State behind them.
So one nice thing about younger adults, they move on faster than a 50-some-year-old head coach does.
NFL cornerback Eric Stokes leaving the Packers, signing a one-year deal with the Las Vegas Raiders. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Duchess of Sussex, also known as Meghan Markle, has taken a lot of verbal and tabloid abuse for her show, I Really Wish I Was Martha Stewart, a.k.a. With Love, Meghan. Critics don't like it, and according to Rotten Tomatoes, only 20% of audiences like it. Having said that, the show has been renewed for season two, and according to the New York Post, the crew absolutely loves her and said she treats everyone wonderfully. Why wouldn't she? She's a duchess with a horrible hit TV show. I can't think of anyone luckier. Mr. Scarlett Johansson, a.k.a. Colin Jost, was roasted on Saturday Night Live during Weekend Update by Lady Gaga's fictional husband, Lord Gaga, played by Mikey Day, who went on and on about how horrible it must be to live with a woman who makes so much more money than her husband. According to the Post, Colin Jost muscles through life with a net worth of just $10 million, and his wife Scarlett Johansson is worth $165 million. Somehow, they managed to make it work. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are watching a late-week system that could bring some thunderstorms late Friday, rain into Saturday, rain changing to snow late Saturday into Sunday. Also, a lot of wind. Stay tuned for updates on that. Today, sunny, mid to upper 50s. Tonight, low 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with highs in the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong. Just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Brad Schimmel says he'll be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court to support Donald Trump's agenda. Deb Krautmiller joins us from the League of Women Voters. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, this is John Grise, also Uncle Rico, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down the night shift.
All right. Tomorrow night on the show, ladies and gentlemen, comedian Mary Mack will be here. Mary is going to make the popcorn pick of the week. We had Mary on a few months ago. She lives up in northern Wisconsin and somehow writes for all these animated TV shows. She's an incredible talent, very funny, and she'll be here Thursday night. Did I say tomorrow night, Conrad?
Did I say tomorrow? Tomorrow's a little different.
Big time faux pas. We'll get to that. But that's Thursday night, folks, for the popcorn pick of the week, and then comedian, Appleton-based comedian Rob Breckenridge will be in the studio. So we got a lot. Thursday night is going to be a lot of laughs. Conrad, have you ever laughed so hard you cried?
Definitely, I have.
Okay.
Did you want an example or something?
No. Just have some Kleenex ready. We're going to laugh a lot on Thursday. And then tomorrow night, we have a special episode. It's only going to be an hour long. We're coming on after political coverage. It's a shortened show, so we've chosen to celebrate the Day of the Dude, which is in honor of Jeffrey Lebowski, the movie The Big Lebowski, which happened a few days ago. But we're finally getting to our celebration. Greg Liana will be on the show tomorrow night to discuss that. He is the founder of the Meet the Parents franchise. And we've already talked to Greg, so I can say this. We thought he was going to bring Tara Reid, Bunny Lebowski, but she couldn't make it, unfortunately. So, but Greg is a lot of fun to talk to and loves that movie. And it'll be a lot of fun. That's tomorrow night from 7 to 8, just an hour of Nightlight tomorrow. Right now, I'm excited to welcome my next guest. He is a filmmaker himself and a film festival founder. And we'll talk to him about that too, because his film festival has a really cool theme. He joins me now in the studio, Jeff Blankenship. Jeff, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Thank you for making the drive into Madison from the burbs.
Yep.
Right?
But I work on the west side, so it wasn't so bad.
So you do this drive every day?
Yep.
You already drove home and then you came back?
No, I stayed.
You
stayed?
I stayed. Did you get a nice hot meal?
Yeah, I was fine.
Okay.
I helped a friend with a computer problem.
Oh. So
I had plenty to do.
All right. Yeah. There you go. Well, it's great to have you here. It's nice to meet you. Do you have I assume since you're a filmmaker, you're not into reality TV, but do you have a reality TV show that if you had to be on it, you would be on it? If someone said, Jeff, you have to be on a reality TV show, which one would you pick? Not that any of them are great.
I am not a, yeah, think about that.
I said
one.
The Bachelor. I think you could double up in that one if you wanted, just because you'd have 20 or 30 women wanting to learn more about you.
Yeah, my wife might have a few things to say about that, but
my wife is responsible for this question tonight, so
yeah.
It's her fault.
Maybe in my younger days, the 90-Day Fiancé.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Oh, that's a good one.
Wait, Conrad, is that the one you were talking about?
Yeah, that's the TLC show.
Yeah.
The Learning Channel.
You learn a lot from that.
It's very educational. What was the other show that was on the Learning Channel? Was that MILF Manor?
Yeah.
Oh, what happened to the Learning Channel? That's not that you don't learn stuff, but you could take some time to think about that.
Okay.
If you want that to be your final answer, though, that's fine. But tell us a little bit about this really cool film festival you created or co-created, Jeff. I just think it's great. The Mental Health Warrior Film Festival.
Yeah. So let me clarify a couple of things about it. The festival itself was the idea and brainchild of Max Blaska that
okay.
I think you've met before.
We've had him on the show. Yeah.
So Max's idea came out of his desire, and it's called Mental Health Warrior, his desire to bring awareness and outreach to mental health issues, to destigmatize these issues that people have,
right,
and try to do it through the use of art and film and music and other things. So one of his vehicles was to get the rights to a Stephen King film to produce. He asked me to direct the film. So I was part of the film, the direction of the film. And then he wanted to use this Mental Health Warrior Film Festival to launch this film and others in the same area of concern.
Very interesting. Okay, yeah. I didn't know those two were necessarily related. So the film festival is called the Mental Health Warrior Film Festival. Have you had one?
Yes.
Okay, so you had your kind of inaugural
festival. The first one was last spring.
Okay, and you have one this year
and
too?
There's one this year.
All right, so tell us about what's on the agenda this year.
Yeah, it's grown. Again, this is Max and Kurt primarily.
Okay.
Kind of on the periphery of the details of it.
Okay.
But I think he's got 30 films.
Wow.
And quite a few online submissions he's going to have. So it'll be, I think, easily twice as large as it was last year.
Plus no kidding.
A streaming option as well.
Yeah.
Is it on, and is it at Flicks Brew House?
At Flicks Brew House.
Oh, great venue.
It's a great venue. The films that were there last year are all top quality, top-notch films.
So you are not one of the founders?
I am not.
Oh.
I was all, not of the festival itself.
Okay.
That was Max's creative touch.
Okay.
But he used the film that I directed as kind of the anchor film for the project.
So to me, you founded...
Okay, fair enough. We'll go with that.
Well, it's either got to be that, because that's the research I did, Jeff, or it's going to be me going, what was middle school for you like?
We've got nothing else to talk about.
Well, we've got stuff to talk about because you've made a lot of films. I did want to ask you, okay, so the film is The Last Rung on the Ladder.
Correct.
Tell us how that happened, because I've talked about it with Kurt before, but not from the standpoint of the director.
We're actually already talking about pre-production for the making of The Last Rung on the Ladder because the experience was simply phenomenal. Max called me one day and said, you were recommended as a director to me. I knew Max. Max and I were friends. We had worked on one small project in the past, the 48-hour project. And he said, I'm doing this project, Stephen King Dollar Baby program, and I'm rewriting the script. Would you want to direct it? And I said, sure. And the first thing I said to him, I said, Max, this sounds like a great project. I read the script that he had. I said, the first thing you need is a producer.
So right.
But I'm not a producer. I said, I know the producer role.
Yeah.
And I can guide you, but we need a boots on the ground producer.
Nice.
And he was looking and I was kind of looking and we weren't finding a producer, and I tried to start to produce it just to get things off the ground. That wasn't going great. I mean, again, I know what to do, but getting it done are two different things. And we were just on the edge of, because there's a time limit. You've got to create the film within a window.
Okay.
You don't have unlimited time. He had spent a fair amount of time writing and rewriting the script, so the clock had been ticking for a long time. So I called him and I said, Max, I think we're running into a little problem. We're running out of time. I said, I've got one last thing for you to try. I said, well, we've got a mutual filmmaker friend. Her name's Melanie. I said, call Melanie. I said, Melanie knows everybody. I said, she may be able to produce it, or she may know somebody who can produce it. I said, that's the last thing I can think of.
Okay.
So she did. She called Melanie. Melanie happened to be driving in her car at that moment with Kurt Krause, who you know.
Yeah.
She talked up the film. She had talked to Max about the film previously. She talked it up to Kurt and convinced Kurt to do it. And within weeks, we were shooting.
Wow, nice.
Just like that.
It all just fell together.
It all came together.
So so you as a director, you've got material from Stephen King.
Yep.
That's got to be kind of a pressure. Like Kurt has been around. He's a very talented guy as an actor. Did he have experience producing? Did you feel comfortable directing this material? I mean, that had to come with some responsibility, right?
It did. Yeah. I was very comfortable with Kurt. I mean, this thing was off the ground in 2 seconds. We're shooting these 2 days. Here's your crew. Here's your cat. I mean, well, we had picked the cast together. I had picked the location. I had a lot of these things kind of lined up, but he toppled the dominoes and off we went. But yeah, I read the original story that Stephen King wrote. It's from 1978, a night shift series called The Last Rung on the Ladder. I read the original. And then I read Kurt and Carla S. Bryant's adaptation of the film, their script, their screenplay version of it. And I really liked it, and I started thinking about it. There were a couple of things in the story that I was rethinking, as I do.
Right.
And that's a whole story in itself, in terms of what I did on set with the story. The storyline for me was a little bit too linear. It didn't feel feel as Stephen King-esque as I wanted it to be. And so I did change up a sequence of events that happened from this original story to what I did in the film.
And you have license to do, like, when you get this project for a dollar, you can do whatever you want with it?
Pretty much.
Oh, that's nice. That's now, some creative freedom.
It is. Now, Max wanted to stay pretty true to the Stephen King version, but it was not a literal, it was not a literal interpretation.
Okay.
But the story is the same. It's a story about two siblings who become estranged.
We have the, I just don't mean to interrupt you, but we have the poster. I love this poster. If you're watching in the stream, it's called The Last Rung on the Ladder. We've put the poster in the stream. That is a great poster, Jeff.
Yeah.
That does Stephen King justice, I think. That's like better than a movie or big studio poster, you know.
That poster design goes, credit goes to Dave Burke.
Nice.
From Oshkosh. He's a photographer. He did a lot of our behind the scenes photography on the film.
So that's a picture?
That is a, that's actually an AI generated image.
Okay.
Now I couldn't get it to generate like that. So he knew some magic that I didn't know, but based on how I discussed it with him, I'd mock some things up and he said, here, try this. I'm like, oh, there it is.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. That's great. So I'm sorry. Yeah, I wanted people to see that though, to help get the movie out there a little bit.
So, So interpreting the story, I kind of have my own process. I've got to feel it. I've got to understand the story. And so that was the major change that I made. There was another part of it. Part of it was the length of the film, of the screenplay.
Okay.
One of them, so there's two main characters, Larry Gatlin and Kitty Gatlin, they're siblings. The characters span three phases of their life, when they're children, when they're teenagers, and then when they're adults. There was a little bit of a missing part of the story because we didn't have a lot of backstory on Kitty.
Okay.
There's just some presumption about what happened to her, but there's not enough. There wasn't enough for me to justify what she does. So kind of on the fly, when we were shooting in Land of Lakes, we established some new scenes for her as a backstory.
Oh, nice.
And those were great. We did them kind of on
the fly. You shot Land of Lakes?
We did.
Nice.
I used to live in that area. I lived in Green Bay. Yeah. And it just so happens that I was friends with the owners of a hotel in Land of Lakes who had a balcony that we thought we were going to need for the shoot. And so I said, can we shoot at your hotel and use the hotel as a scene? And they said, yes. So then at that point, we then shot four different scenes, five different scenes in Land of Lakes at the hotel in a local diner that we just took over and created a scene on the fly in Gateway Lodge. We did a bar scene and a scene in the hallway, all kind of improv.
That is really cool. I didn't know you shot in Land of Lakes. I remember Curtis told me about this and he was so enthusiastic about the project. He said it was great. He talked about how great it was working with you. When you, like, I see the budget on IMDb Pro. I don't ever know if that's accurate or not, because I think people guesstimate regardless whether or not it is, you have to raise money for an independent film. Did you, was it easier to do that? And I don't know if you had anything to do with that, but you have material from Stephen King. Did that make it easier to find some funds?
What did help was certainly the name of the writer of the project and Max's goal and vision really helped, because people wanted to support his cause.
Right.
So that absolutely did help. I would say that I've talked to other filmmakers, LA-based filmmakers, tell them about the project or they've seen it. And they would estimate that our budget was 10 times what it
was.
That's
so great.
Based on what they saw.
When you can put it on the screen like that, that's fantastic. Yep. My guest is Jeff Blankenship. He's the director of The Last Rung on the Ladder, a short film that was made with our friend Kirk Krause, too, and Max Blaska, who has been a previous guest on the show. We're talking about that, and we'll have a few more minutes with Jeff when we come back after this very short break. Do not go anywhere, folks. Help us close this down. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News Radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Alba, and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7. On your local Civic Media radio station and the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. We are doing the Madison thing tonight, folks. It's great to be in Madison tonight. I know we have a lot of great listeners here. Sherry from Horicon says, love Todd Michaels. Who doesn't, Sherry? You won't want to miss that. Todd is so much fun to talk to about paranormal stuff. It's just great. And we'll let you know what night that is. Chris Casper also says, saw her in Mineral Point and she was amazing. Conrad, help.
The girl from 27 Dresses?
Catherine Heigl? Is that who Chris was talking about?
I'll have to look it up. I'll have to go to the Google.
He saw her in Mineral Point. She could have been there on a shopping spree. You know, those stores in L.A. with all their variety, that gets old.
Yeah.
Mineral Point, they'll send you cab fare to shop there, right? Mineral Point is a beautiful town. They've got that. Have you been there, that little opera house?
Yep.
We've
done film festivals there.
Yeah, I was in a movie years ago called Aquarians, and they had a showing there, and the filmmaker invited me to go there. And I was like, when I did stand-up, I used to drive through Mineral Point from Madison, like, to Iowa.
Yep.
And I was like, this is such a gorgeous town. And then when I was there for that film festival, that opera house is, like, the most charming, beautiful little building. So love Mineral Point. That's awesome. Jeff Blankenship is my guest. We're talking about his film, The Last Rung on the Ladder, that he directed, produced by Kirk Krause, a mutual friend of ours and a guy who's been on the show several times. Jeff, I assume there's a mental health aspect to The Last Rung on the Ladder. I still have not seen it.
Oh, well, you have to see it.
Okay.
Sure. Oh yeah. It's incredible.
Where can I see it?
It'll be down here in Madison I shouldn't say that. I don't know. I hope that Max will show it again at the festival.
Mental health. Yeah. Okay.
It's going to be in Green Bay this weekend.
Oh, right. At the Green Bay Film Festival. Yep. Yeah. That is a neat little film festival. I have not been there yet, but I've talked to the festival director and some people who've had films there, and it sounds like just a really great little festival.
So we'll be showing on Saturday.
Will you be there?
I will be there.
Oh, nice. Yep. Okay. I think, do you like Q&As after films? They're fun, aren't they?
I love them.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm doing right now to you.
Right.
And you seem like you really love talking about your stuff, and that's so great.
I do.
Yeah.
And when people ask questions, that means they're paying attention and it's touched them at some level and they're really interested. So I really enjoy it.
We've got some comments on the stream. Craig Anthony Knitt, who I assume you know.
I know Craig
well.
It's a
very tight-knit film community here in Wisconsin, and I love that you guys all know each other. I'm curious, which of Jeff's films is his favorite?
Well, this one, pretty much.
Okay.
There's so many parts of this film. All the films I've done, I really enjoyed. This one has a real special meaning, not only for the cause that Max is promoting, but the way the cast and crew came together. It was a flawless shoot. We shot in five cities, seven days. Cast and crew, we had children on set. We had safety issues. Everything went off without a hitch. It was just an incredible experience. What we accomplished, overcame, and delivered. It was just an incredible experience.
That's so great. Jeremy Thompson, also known as JB. I call him the guy behind the guy.
Yeah.
He says, nice work. Jeff, great explanation. I agree. Okay.
Yeah. Thank,
thank you, JB. And then Craig also says, also is last rung on the ladder playing in green.
It is Saturday.
He's leading you there. He knows.
Yeah. Craig knows me.
He wants you. He's helping you, right?
Yeah. Craig and I go way back. Actually, I met Kurt Krause through the Wildwood Festival.
Oh, yeah.
That he, Craig and Jason,
that's excellent.
And Craig is the cousin of a guy I went to high school with.
Wow. I know. I've met more people since I've been doing this show that have some connection to Craig Knitt.
Yeah.
Terry Barr, who works here at Civic Media, and all these people that he's like the most popular guy in the world, apparently.
He's out there. Yeah.
I was looking at your IMDb page, Jeff. You've done a ton of shorts. Like, you're a very prolific filmmaker.
Yeah.
Have you done a feature?
No. We are talking about possibly doing this as a feature.
Okay.
We're investigating if those rights are
seems
attainable.
Like it's perfect for that.
It would
right?
be awesome. I mean,
so let me ask you this. As a filmmaker, why do you always go for, have you had a desire to do a feature, or is it just easier to shoot shorts?
Both.
Both. Okay.
The scaling up from a short to a feature is significant.
Sure.
It's not linear. So if Last Ride on the Ladder is 25 minutes, making it 50 minutes or 65 minutes is not twice the effort. It's probably 10 times.
How about that?
The budget alone, you know, every day, every shooting day, you're feeding people, the expenses become challenging. And then how many shooting days can you fit if people are working other jobs?
Yeah.
It becomes a challenge.
Have you ever had that where people just go, I can't, I have to work? Well, I would imagine that would be tough for people that, you know.
With this film, it was flawless.
Yeah.
We had shooting days in the middle of the week, and we never had anybody drop. It was perfect, but that is challenging.
Will you, let's say it plays at this festival again, or if it doesn't, will you put it on YouTube or Vimeo? Will you guys find a way for people to see it?
We have some restrictions about how it can be used.
Oh, because it's Stephen King.
Right.
That's maybe the downside is trying to get it seen.
Correct. So it's kind of funny. You want it seen. They want it seen. So primarily festival. I don't know ultimately what the rule becomes.
Okay.
The program has been ended, so some of those restrictions might be lifted. Not sure.
Great stuff. Hey, real quick, when is the Mental Health Warrior Film Festival this year?
I believe it's either the first or second weekend in May, and I didn't have that in front of me, but it's in the beginning of May.
At Flicks Brew House here in Madison. Yep. Check it out. It focuses on mental health. It's just a great, I just love it. It's the only thing I've ever heard of that. So,
and every film that's shown is an inspiration to the cause. It's really strong.
Outstanding. Yeah. Jeff, thank you so much.
Thank
good
you.
Luck with the film. And good luck at the festival. That's so, film festivals are great. Thank you also to Frank Roach and help me counter Tim Sowers, our friend Tim Sowers. Yep. Thank you for all your texts. How could I forget Tim? We'll be back tomorrow night in short and form. Have a great night. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
Our next live broadcast is Thursday, where I welcome Mary Mack, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. And then comedian Rob Brackenridge joins me in the studio. Always fun.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
the Badgers.
Feeds Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Fade.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. President Trump's 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum from all countries have taken effect.
The tariffs are going to be throwing off a lot of money to this country, and we've been ripped off for years by other countries.
The European Union is responding with retaliatory tariffs. Britain calls the U.S. tariffs disappointing. Japan calls them regrettable. CBS's Jared Hill has more.
The move has support from many domestic steel and aluminum makers, but the head of the Can Manufacturers Institute says consumers will eventually take a hit.
How long will it take for people to feel the impacts of these tariffs?
The impacts will probably be felt in the next 60 to 90 days as we buy more steel and aluminum and as those containers are filled with food and beverages.
Trump plans to enact more reciprocal tariffs on April 2nd. President Trump wants to dismantle the Department of Education and beginning Friday.